The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2013 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2013. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the internet. To find out more about ACCS, or to order additional conference talks, visit our website at accsedu.org. Look for the Conferences tab. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Terry and Arla. I'm Arla Rosenbaum. We are from Georgetown, Texas, teach at Grace Academy there in Georgetown. And this morning, we are just hoping to share some ideas with you. Some you probably have already heard, some you may already use, but just wanted to share some actual hands-on things that you can use in your classroom to integrate your science and your literature, your history, your Bible, all of that together. So, as I said, I'm Arla. I'm married. I have two children that are college age. My youngest just graduated from high school and will be headed to college in the fall. And my daughter's a junior in college this next fall semester coming up. Been married for,
Don't look at me.
I don't know. 27 years, 27 years. And just love life, love God, love being able to teach about God's creation to folks. Love that I can unapologetically speak about God in my classroom, and I love that. And this is Terry Jansen.
We're really glad you guys are here today. Again, my name's Terry Jansen. I teach kindergarten at Grace Academy. I've been teaching this will be upcoming my 15th year, all of my teaching experiences with the little ones, pre-K through first grade. Arla teaches third grade. Yes. We both have background in public school, private school, Christian school, classical school. So we kind of across the board have had the ability to
Terry has also homeschooled.
Oh, yes.
I have not done that.
So. we've gotten to where we can really fully appreciate getting to speak the word in a classroom. So we're hoping that you'll be able to gather some information from what we have to present to you this morning.
Let's start with prayer.
Yeah, let's open up in prayer.
Father, we just thank you so much this morning for being able to communicate with your word, to see you in creation. Father, it's just so evident that you are here among us when we can look out and see the things that you have created. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the ability to teach that to our children. Father, I pray that you would be with us today. We pray that the things that we say today will be helpful, but they will also honor and glorify you. And we thank you for this opportunity once again. These things we pray in your precious name. Amen.
All right. Well, for our seminar today, we've chosen to go with the theme of literature and science in a bag. The idea of this is, as teachers, actually, they have spoken earlier during this conference about being prepared, being planned, being ready. So what we kind of like to do is to have a lesson in a bag. It's completely ready for you. All of the supplies, everything inside it is prepared for you. So ideally, if you were to reconstruct this in your own classroom environment, in a beautiful setting where we all have unlimited storage space, right? But the idea is, if you know that you are having a unit study on something that would work with one of these books, that you would have this already in your closet or wherever you happen to have, or have it readily available for you where you can just grab and go, so to speak. So that's kind of what we put together for you this morning. So I'm going to cover kindergarten through first grade books. Arla's going to take over in just a little bit with second and third grade books. I apologize if I don't look at you very often over there, but those lights are literally blinding. And so I try to make good eye contact, but I don't know that I will this morning, to be honest. But we're going to start with our kindergarten night. We chose books that we thought would ideally be already located in your existing library, classroom library. So, but again, obviously these are books that are very common. You can find them at the library or wherever you choose, but half price bookstore. So this one, we'll start with kindergarten. We chose Polar Bear. Obviously for a preschool or kindergarten classroom, this is a very common book that you would find. So with each of these stories that we've chosen, we have come up with the scientific relationship. Oh, forgive me. You have in your handout a miniature, you might need binoculars, outline, complete outline. So ideally, you won't have to take too many notes if you don't wish. It's all pretty much in there for you along with the resources. But that being said, okay, so Polar Bear, by Eric Carle and Bill Martin Jr. The scientific relationship that we're focusing on for this book is animal habitats. The biblical references and scriptures, Psalm 139:14, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis 1:21-25, so God created every living creature, the creatures of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. So obviously we are wanting to make sure that the children are aware of how this literature is relevant to them and to God's word. And so that's where we're bringing those two elements in. So from there we have, the first thing I want to do is the popsicle sticks. Obviously, kindergarten, the little ones love something tangible, something that they can use to actually be part of the story. So one idea that we came up with, or that we've seen in other classrooms and things like that, nothing terribly unique with this, but the children get to find actual depictions of animals. They cut them out of magazines, we laminate them if you wish, and then just attach them to popsicle sticks. So this can be incorporated in various elements of your lesson, but also in retelling the story itself. Along those same lines, I do a lot of storyboards. So online, and please forgive me, I tried to find these. I did these about probably 7 or 8 years ago, and I tried to find them to give you the website, and I could not. But I believe they still exist somewhere in internet land, but I could not find them, so forgive me. But anyway, the actual pictures from the story, and they were free printables at the time. So I cut those out, laminated them, and I put magnets on the back so that ideally, depending on the number of children in your classroom, you can give each child one of those. And as you're retelling the story, then they get the opportunity when their animal comes up, they get to come up to the storyboard and place it on the board. It helps keep them engaged, obviously, but it's just one of those fun little resources that you can use as well. Another option, I'll get to that in a little bit, forgive me. So that's one of the other things you can do. You are going to see in our presentation today a lot of what we call flip books. Again, these have been around for a long time, but we use them a lot in our classrooms, regardless of the age group. Arla's going to show you how to assemble a flip book if you have never done so before.
All right. I learned. Can you hear me without that? Okay. I learned this a long time ago. I've been teaching, which I didn't share with you earlier, about 17 years. And in the very beginning of my teaching career, I went to a conference and learned about flipbooks. Flipbooks are fantastic because it allows the student to hear the information that you give them and then put it back in their own language, retell in their own language. So we kind of did one for you here. What you do is you think about what process you're going to teach, whether it's scientific, whether it's sequencing, a story about doing a beginning, middle, end, six simple machines, which we're going to talk about later. You decide what processes, how many pages you need for the book. And then you layer it like this, stack it one on top of the other, and then you fold it to meet. And we did put the instructions on how to make a flip book in your handout that you got. So then you have the student reproduce in their own language, which is one of the seven laws, the information that you've given them. You talk about a title page. This can be the title page and the author and how the author goes there. And then you have them open up each little section and they can illustrate. You can use magazine cutouts to illustrate. You can have them draw. You can have them do math activities with this as well. This can be used cross-curricular. Phonics, grammar, history. It can be used in Bible. It can be used everywhere. It is an excellent, excellent old tool. And of course, we all know grammar kids love crayons, markers, color pencils. They love that kind of thing. And so this is a great activity for them. So today the information that we want you to know is, so glad you came. So anyway, that's that.
So that being said, Arla will show you, we made a food chain flip book to accompany this unit lesson with polar bear. So the children are learning, the food chain. So you'll see that there's different, the algae, and then the fish eat the algae, and then the bears eat the fish. So we're keeping it very, very simple for this age group, obviously. But then the children are learning what algae is and learning about the animal habitats,
now,
where
are you
fish
being
live.
Modest? Did what? Your children do this?
This was my son.
Yeah.
My kindergarten. I have a kindergarten son.
Okay,
and that was him. Well, I think my daughter wrote that. No, that's him. Yay. Okay. Anyway, so yes, so those are my, those are the flip books. And then finally, also in your, we have our little bear silhouette. So another way that you can integrate science is talking about shadows, the placement of the sun, the placement of the moon. We have a little bear, and you have, this is a cardboard cutout of a bear, and then you use the flashlight. Yep, it's not going to help us,
there,
but that's okay.
There's her shadow.
Oh, yay. Anyway, so that's another element that you can tie in for science for this. Then finally, we made a triangle diorama, a pyramid diorama. So these, we talked about the various habitats of bears. So they chose three common bears, and so they chose polar bear, obviously, for the book. They chose a grizzly bear, and then finally a panda bear. I admit I did make that panda. That was not my kindergartner's panda. But they are fully capable of doing this. They think it's actually quite fun. And you can choose whether or not you want to have them just color on it. These are cutouts where they had them be more three-dimensional, which the kids actually really enjoy doing. This is something that, a project that would take more than one lesson. You know, it's something that would be done over a couple of days. But also in your handouts, you have a template to make these triangles. And then you just paste them together. But also another fun thing to do with this, specifically with habitats, is if you live somewhere where you can do like a walk outside and find leaves and find sticks and things like that, that they can actually mount on the diorama is very fun for them too. So again, making that concrete, making that tangible for them and making it more hands-on for them is something that they truly enjoy. So, obviously, these are just launching points for you, so that this is a launching point for polar bear, and everybody got there. Yeah, you just go ahead and take that apart. Everybody should have received a ticket when they came in this morning. Miss Kim, Miss Thomas, if you'll pull a ticket out of there and just say what number it is, and they can come up and they get this bag.
Hey,
included in each of these bags is a complete lesson plan as well, so that you can have all the details. All right, and moving on, I'm trying to keep track of time so I don't talk too much. I'm going to have to speed up. Okay, we have The Very Hungry Caterpillar, again, by Eric Carle. This one is easy. It just screams metamorphosis. So obviously that is what our lessons are going to be for The Very Hungry Caterpillar, the scientific relationship being metamorphosis. Again, we're talking about creation, Genesis 1:21-25, and then 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is one of my favorites because it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So talking about the transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly, but then you can also incorporate, you know, the transformation of your life when you accept Jesus Christ. So with these, we made another flip book, The Life Cycle of a Butterfly. This was made by my second grader. So, but these are, again, another way to use the flip books. For this age group, again, with kindergarten, you're not necessarily defining. I mean, you can define, but what they're wanting to do is color. And so it's whatever they can use when they go home to show mom and dad, and they can retell what metamorphosis is. And then another, this is one of my favorites, is the bracelet. This is a life cycle bracelet. And in your kit, you're going to get all the elements that you need to make this bracelet, but it's also listed in your supplies on your outline there. You're going to use pipe cleaners for the wrist or for the bracelet, and then we have a white bead, a single white bead for the egg, and then a red bead and three green beads are to represent the caterpillar that looks like the caterpillar in the story because he has a red head. And then we have a clear white bead that is the chrysalis, and then finally one butterfly bead. And so as the children are assembling this, ideally they're retelling the order of metamorphosis and how it is. And so that way they're holding it, they wear it, and they can take it home and tell people about it too. They can show off their brains. Along with that, there's a couple other like freebies in that bag too that can be used, but for time purposes, I'm not going to get to that. But I wanted to show you, I also, for Very Hungry Caterpillar, I could not find this one online years ago when I was making these. So I actually, because I apparently swim in money, I bought an extra book and I cut it apart. I know, horrible, but I did. So we cut the book apart and laminated, and I do the same thing with this when I'm retelling the stories with my children so they can take turns bringing an element up to the board just to make, again, to make it tangible, to make it real, and help them to understand and to really get to be part of the story as well. Okay, Ms. Thomas, will you pull out another ticket for us, please? Very good. All right, so now we're going to, this is another one for kindergarten, mouse paint. Obviously, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this book as well, but this one is also for scientific relationship. This would be for color mixing and talking about vocabulary where you bring in primary colors, secondary colors, and how primary colors mix together make secondary colors and things like that. The children love at this age to mix colors and paint and things like that. So, scripture or biblical reference for this one, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put everything into man's heart, so he cannot find out what God has done from the very beginning. So children are getting to explore and create. So that being said, we use storyboard manipulatives for this too, just like I had shown you previously. Different color mixing activities. So you can use color mixing with the water and food coloring, which is very, very common. But another element that you can use is hair gel. I thought this was really fun. I actually got this one off Pinterest. But a clear colored hair gel, and put them in the little bitty bottles, the squirt bottles that you can get in the travel size areas of your stores, and they get to do it themselves, add the color in, and then they get to squirt it and mix it together. It's very fun, and since it's more of a different texture, it's more exciting to them. So inside there, you're going to have various elements that you would need to mix paint and things like that. I believe that's all for that one. I'm speeding through. I'm talking too much. I apologize. So, Mrs. Thomas, will you grab another ticket for us, please? Oh, I like that enthusiasm. I'm going to go ahead and start moving forward since I don't want to cut Arla off at all. Okay, so The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats. We live in Texas. I'm from Kansas, which isn't really known for snow either, but we did have some when I was a kid, and so I love snow. I love actually getting to explore seasons because children that are in Texas don't get a whole lot of that, probably down here as well, truthfully. Not a whole lot of snow occurs in Atlanta. So they love talking about snow and understanding really the different seasons that occur. So that being said, that is our scientific relationship, weather and seasons. Genesis 1:14 says, Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." So, favorite thing, if you do not know who Steve Spangler is, you need to know who Steve Spangler is. This is not, we accidentally left this out of your packet. So if you would like to jot this website down, I don't know if you can see it. I'm just going to tell you what it says. It is www.stevespangler, StevespangleR, science.com. He's very, very creative, very fun. He does some very cool things, but he also sells different products that he uses as well. One of those being Insta Snow. Now, this is so much fun, and the kids, especially in areas where they don't see snow, this is even more exciting for them. It comes in this little bitty packet of powder, and it comes with a little scoop. You're going to get this if you win this bag. Yeehaw! So, in this little packet, you have a little scoop and a little measuring cup, and that tiny scoop and that little bitty bit of water, I don't want to give you the correct of whether it triples or it might quadruple. I don't know. It gets very large, and the neatest thing about this is it's actually cold. Now, you have to obviously encourage the children not to eat it. It's not the kind of snow you can eat, not edible snow, but it is so much fun, and it really is cold and fun to play with. So there's all sorts of things you can do with that. So that website is available for you. Yes, please.
I did this in Florida where there is no snow, and it was hilarious. I did it with sixth grade students, and we had a snow fight. And I didn't think to tell them, don't throw it above the head. Don't throw it in the eyes. So I had kids going, oh. So just keep that in mind. You know, throw it below the head.
And it also will last for quite some time as well. If you put it in a sealed container, you can use it for a few weeks. I've used it in like a sensory table for a good amount of time, but you also need to keep in mind, it gets dirty. So have the kids make sure they wash and things like that. But it is fun. It's a lot of fun. So that's one of the things we put in there. I apologize. I'm like speeding through this right now. We also wanted to let you know, again, a flip book. There's various flip books that you could make with this. You could talk about precipitation, the seasons, clouds and the water cycle. One other fun thing that my kids love to do at the kindergarten grade level is get various containers, and you can even have them bring a container they think would be fun at home, bring it in, put some sort of item inside, whatever it is, a little counting bear or whatever they choose, a little dice or something, and fill it with water, freeze them, and then put them out on the driveway or wherever you're the blacktop at your school, and you can start estimating and have the children determine which one they think is going to melt the most quickly to where they can get their little toy out. You can also do races with the ice where you push it and see which one will go the furthest, things like that. So you can also bring in physics as an element for science as well. States of Matter, I can't remember if I said that one. States of Matter flip book. So there's several different options for flip books that you can do to incorporate this story. Okay, Mrs. Thomas, other ticket, please. Okay.
Some of mine aren't as detailed.
Okay, that's true.
641.
Oh, yay, good. I didn't ask if, how many kindergarten, how many teachers we have in here, science, things like that. So you see, hopefully the ones you guys are getting are ones that you can use or give to somebody else that you know that could use them. Or trade. We won't know. So moving along, we have The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. Okay, and the scientific relationship for The Giving Tree we've chosen are plants. And then photosynthesis is also something that you can incorporate. Genesis 1, 11 through 13, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Let there be light, and there was light. So those are two, obviously talking about creation and all these things that God made for a purpose, and the way that they function, and the way that they are made, and the way that they transform into other things are all purposeful by God. But another one that I love about this one, because of the book itself, this isn't scientific, but it's a heart. I love this. The story of the tree, the giving tree itself, if you haven't read it, is about the tree and how much it just gives and continues to give and continues to give to this boy. And he takes and takes and takes. And then towards the end, obviously, he realizes that he's been taking and not giving. But it said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should love him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I always tie that one in when I do this story as well. But Arla has brought out, this is another variation of a flip book, but we're calling it a pocket book. You can easily make photosynthesis a flip book, but this is a pocket book where the children get to talk about the various elements, light, water, and then I don't know what the carbon dioxide is. We get into that as well. That's part of the lesson. But that's kind of fun too because it looks like a tree and they like that. So for those of you that are, whoever wins this bag gets the template for all of that, but it's all pretty self-explanatory that you can remake that at your classroom as well. Sprouting beans in the classroom. Now, lima beans are super fun because they sprout very quickly, and most of you have done that where you've stuck them in the window to see which sprouts or how quickly they sprout. But we had our second grade teacher this year do something really fun too, where she took one, she had it in the window, she had one in the refrigerator, and then she had one on a wet sponge. And so they did an experiment to determine which one sprouted more quickly, which one was more successful in sprouting, because one didn't have light, and you understand. So that was a fun activity that she took it, and the kids really enjoyed that too.
And kids learned that the process of collecting data from that.
Right.
So you can start using those vocabulary words that your upper school teachers want their students to know when they get to them.
Right.
It's like photosynthesis and metamorphosis and all that.
Okay, and then indoor terrariums are very fun if you haven't made those before. One of my favorite things to do is if you go to Sam's Club or Costco, I'm not sure what you have down here, I assume you have those things, you can get the big tub of cheese balls or animal crackers, and once it's empty, you can use those big tubs as a terrarium in your classroom and fill it with various levels of, you know, the soil and rocks and moss and things like that, and build a terrarium. You can also do artificial plants in a terrarium too if you want something for them to take home that, that they can enjoy immediately. Leaf rubbing is another choice for this. You know, collecting leaves outside if you have seasons where you live and see red and orange and brown leaves. We don't have that. Well, we see a lot of brown. Anyway, so that's another option for you. Water absorption experiment using celery and the food coloring in the water, and you see what color, and so then you can talk about the veins in plants and how they are, how water is absorbed and God's purpose in that. And then another Steve Spangler fun thing. I'm going to let
but
you do this
one. But I have a question.
One. Okay.
Does anybody know what that is? Oh, it looks like a test tube, doesn't it? It's not a test tube. No. Can you see it? No, it's not bubbles. Any other guesses real quick? I'm sorry? That's a good guess too, but no. This was a liter Coke bottle. This is a liter Coke bottle, and they fill it with air, and it becomes the liter Coke bottle. But Steve Spangler uses it as a test tube. Isn't that crazy? Look, it has the lid. That's the Coke. Bottle. It's pop. Sorry.
Pop.
I'm from Texas.
I don't know what it
Everything's
is.
Coke.
So,
but soda. That's what it is. They in the factory, they'll blow it up to its original size. But it makes a 2-liter bottle or a 1-liter bottle. Isn't that ingenious? What a great
you can
idea.
Get those from Steve Spangler
Steve
Science.
Spangler.
And so that being said, whoever gets this kit will also get the test tubes. And then these are jelly crystals. I'm going to let you
Yes,
explain
these
that.
Are jelly crystals that you add water to, and they act as your soil for planting seeds. And so you put the jelly crystals in here once you've activated them, once
with
you've
water,
with
right.
the water, and it gives you the instructions on it. Or you can go to his website, and it'll sometimes he has videos and things that he can show you on experiments. And anyway, you put the crystals inside the test tube, and then you put the seed inside, and then put a few more on, and it still needs light. It's all of that, but the water stays and because it's absorbed by the jelly crystals, so you don't have to water as often, and it'll grow out of the
and test. He also has it's a neat little setup too where you can have four
yeah,
or five test
purchase,
tubes standing
yes.
and so then you can compare them. It's very fun.
Yes.
So whoever gets this bag will also get that element. We've got some leaf rubbing templates in there as well as some seeds, and I don't know what else. It's like a
fun.
It's a party in a bag. I don't know. Okay, Mrs. Thomas, another ticket, please. Yay! All right, Mrs. Rosenbaum, you're up.
Okay. Well, the next book we're going to discuss, and this kind of moves into your upper grammar levels when your students are beginning to read chapter books.
And this one, according with the Veritas, if some of you use the Veritas schedule for reading, and this one I believe shows up in second grade. We did it, we had a little flip-flop, and we did it in third grade this year, so I have some actual experience with it. But the scientific connection with Charlotte's Web is very obvious, insects and spiders. And so the biblical references for that, because Charlotte's Web is just full of friends, full, and it just so lends itself to the biblical integration of Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. And then Matthew 22:39, a second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. But one of my favorite things that came out of Charlotte's Web this year is we were talking about Charlotte, and we came to the end where Charlotte is talking to Wilbur about the sacrifice that she's made for him and having him understand the sacrifice that she made. And one of my little third graders said, "Miss Rosenbaum, that's like Jesus. Jesus sacrificed his whole life for us." And I was like, "You know what? That's amazing." And I started crying, of course. And and I said, "You are so right. That is exactly what this is like." And it just so made me think of the seven laws and thinking about their own language and how that book communicated to her the language of love that Christ had for us. And I thought, wow, this is why we do what we do. It was wonderful. So along those lines, again, we have the flip book. And in this case, we just chose the ladybug because you could represent the stages of a ladybug. And this flip book, we put in the shape of a ladybug. So that brings some interest to the children. Now, I have to brag just a little bit. My niece is adopted from China, and she created this little flip book. And so she was so excited. She was working with us that day. And she said, "Oh, I want to do that." So she created that flip book. If you do this book in the second grade, your history timeline, of course, is Moses, creation, Moses, and you talk about the 10 plagues. So there's a great integration into your Bible, into your history. All of that can folk get right in that. You could be done by noon and let those kids go. No, I'm just kidding. So you could just integrate all that together. And that's what I love about classical education, because you can integrate all of that curriculum and teach your kids in that way. The next thing we have here, we put a focus on grammar, and this year my students did what we called a word web. I hope you can tell that's a web. And what I had them do is put a focus on adjectives. So they got magazines, I let them work in groups. I don't do that a whole lot, but I did let them work in groups. And, you know, it was great to watch them work as a team and support one another and just see those, as Matt Whitling says, the wise, the naive, and the scoffer. You got to watch the scoffer. But anyway, and they came up, and I had them create a scene from Charlotte's Web and put the web in it. So we did that. And we're sending that home with you as well, so you have an example to show your students. The next thing that we put together with that scientifically is teaching the body parts of an insect. And so in order to do that, you just use a craft stick and some pipe cleaners, and you can show the amount of legs that it needs. You can show the head, the abdomen, the thorax in the right order, if I didn't do that right, sorry. And use a different color to represent those so that you can, so it stands out to them. So that's a one way thing to do that with that. You can also integrate reading literature into this activity by talking about the setting and the characters, the plot, the conflict, and theme. And now, just for you, you get to get up out of your seat. Because Ms. Jansen is going to bring a ball of yarn, and you can do this in your classroom. You can integrate again with spiders, talk about different types of spiders, the kinds of webs they build, and all that, and you can do a story web. So Ms. Jansen's going to demonstrate that for you.
So the way this works, it's good for older children, you have to like get a little straight away. But you as the teacher make a little circle at the end, which you can hold on to. The key is to remind children when the ball is thrown to them,
Yes. I saw it. Love it. Don't hit him in the head. Because you're creating a web, a spider web. Oh. Wow. Oh. This sort of reminds me when I got married, you know, you do the garter thing. And the guys all stood around and they did the garter and it hit this kid in the chest and they all went like this. I don't want it. That's awesome. You get the idea. And then you can talk about, so what kind of spider do you think would build this web? So. Thank you for participating. Let's give them a round of applause.
Yay.
Great story. Okay, now, what happened at the beginning? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And just for fun, we had to bring a little Texas with us. This is a scorpion.
Ooh.
In a test tube. So it's dead. It's dead.
No, they're everywhere.
It's dead.
They're
yeah.
in your bed.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
Number, Ms. Thomas, please. Oh, yay. The next bag that we're going to represent to you for here in the second grade is Pinocchio. Now, Pinocchio, our scientific relationship would be the skeletal system or the body, parts of the body, parts of the eye, just anything with biology, with a biology emphasis, having to do with the human systems. The scriptures there would be Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into a man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Also, Psalm 139:14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So we talked about a couple of things here that you could do with your students. One would be, again, the flip book. Seems to be a running theme.
Yes.
The flip book, and this one was actually one of my third grade students, and she did it outside of class. She didn't do it inside of class. She was so excited to get to do it. And she made it in the shape of an eyeball and did her own research. And as you get a little bit older, because she did it, did she put the definitions in there? Can you see?
Yes, she did.
She did. As you get a little bit older in the grade levels, this, again, is great for your upper school areas because you're starting to introduce that vocabulary to them. And then they can go in and redefine those parts in their own language. They do the research, they read about it, and then they reproduce it in their own language. Another activity was the skeletal system, and we found a little handout online. I think we put that website on the outline. I think so. Anyway, you just cut it apart, which they can work on their fine motor skills by cutting, and brad it together and hang it in the room if you want to, talk about the different bones, again, introducing that vocabulary. All right.
His little body for a second.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you have a little scale model of a skeleton, or we happen to have a little plastic man that has the inside parts in him, and it's like a puzzle. You could put that in an area, and when they're finished with their assignment for the day, they can take it apart, talk about each part of it. You could teach from it, teaching the inside organs of the body, and then they can explore with that later. Oh, and then one of the other things we thought might be very helpful, if you teach from an overhead, you could find pictures of the skeletal system, the muscular system,
circulatory,
all of the systems, and put them on transparencies, and then build the body.
So do the bones first.
Right. Layer it up in the way it would be. We did put a book in here because I couldn't find that. I couldn't find it on website. I found this book that actually has different parts in it and has great activities that you can also have for your students. So if you get the bag, you get the book. Awesome. I think that's it for that one, isn't it?
Next.
Number, Ms. Thomas? Yay! The which one? Oh, I don't know. I think we Googled. All we did was Google skeletal systems for kids.
If you would like it specifically, our email is on there. You can email it.
Yeah.
And we'll get it to you.
Yes, we could certainly do that. All right, the next book is Homer Price. Homer Price was a delightful book. This was a new book to me this year, and so I enjoyed reading it. We put the emphasis on the six simple machines because Homer builds a donut machine. And so we put the emphasis on simple machines. The scripture reference, the biblical integration for that is Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And, you know, my little third graders, we talked about committing your work to the Lord, whether it's spelling or math or whatever you're doing, that everything you're doing, you're not doing for Miss Rosenbaum. You're not doing for your parents. Ultimately, you are doing it for Christ, and that you should do it to the best of your ability, whatever it is. And so they like that connection, and you get a lot of good work that way. The Simple Machine flip book, it has a little even more detail when you move to the third grade level. In that flip book, I've put the process of where you find the turning point or the fulcrum. Again, introducing that vocabulary for your upper school teachers. They will love you if you start talking in those terms. Then we did levers in a bag, which is an actual experiment. My third grade students loved it when I would write on the board, lab tomorrow. They thought they were the biggest things ever, that they were getting to do a lab. And I highly suggest if your campus has a lab, has a working lab, take them to it. Talk to your upper school teacher and see if you can schedule your lab in the lab, because they think that's just amazing. Anyway, so it's levers in a bag. We put the directions in. We put everything in for you so that you can do that experiment in class. I specifically, on this one, we worked in groups, and it worked out really, really well. Oh, it's a paper towel roll cut in half, a ruler, and counting bears you can borrow from kindergarten, which is what I did. And just simple, simple stuff, but it turns into a great, great experiment. And you can even begin talking about lab reports and how you write lab reports and show them how that's done. So great thing there. We also did gears from picnic plates, so you can show them how gears work together. And I have to tell you that Miss Jansen did this. I mean, she's awesome, by the way.
If I can do it, a third grader can do it.
Yeah. And so you just walk them through how gears work, talk about that, and then it's picnic plates that we cut and put brads, and then they can actually turn it and make the gears work. And I think that's all we have for that one. So number, please, Ms. Thomas. All right, our last bag is from Owls and the Family. Wonderful book. The author that wrote this book actually lived this out. This was his life. This is what he did. And it was so fun to, he even named one of the characters almost after himself. And the kids thought that was so interesting that he actually lived life like this. And it's a wonderful book. Just exploring God's creation in birds, in the birds of the air. So the biblical scripture and reference for that is Genesis 1:30, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And then Genesis 1:21, so God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. The scientific relationship is food chain. And we hit this in several different areas. You can talk about predators and prey, and you can do a flip book with that. You can talk about the three kinds of eaters, omnivores, herbivores, and carnivores. This was done by one of my students. If you'll notice on carnivores, that's dripping with blood.
Excellent.
Yeah, because that's a meat eater. Again, in this particular flip book, I extended it even more and said you had to represent at least five omnivores, at least five herbivores, and at least five herbivores. Just extending it even more. And I asked them also to include the habitat of that eater. And then, of course, define what an omnivore is.
That's a good definition.
What an omnivore is, what a herbivore is, what a carnivore is, into their language. But our favorite thing this year in third grade was that we actually got to do a dissection. And they loved it. Now, let me say, this we dissected owl pellets. Has anyone in here ever done that? Okay, it's great, isn't it? And get ready because they'll go, oh, Miss Rosenbaum, look at this. Oh, Miss Rosenbaum, Miss Rosenbaum, Miss I'm like, okay, I can't hear my name anymore. It's just like, oh my goodness. And their eyes just get wide with what they find. And it's kind of it's structured chaos is what I call it. But they're learning and they love it. And they get to, explore God's creation through that. So what we've done in this kit is we purchased
a
beginning kit.
The basic kit.
Now,
it is the field biology kit for,
mm-hmm.
and it comes with.
It comes with three pellets, a microscope.
Magnifying glass.
We're not giving away microscopes today. Sorry. Tweezers. Yeah. And then it also gives you some handouts in the pack as well that you can use. But I'm going to give you the website for that. The company is actually Genesis, but the web address is www.pellet.com. And the lady there is just very kind and very helpful, and it's a wonderful company. And I'm sure that you can find others as well. If you just Google pellets, owl pellets, you can find all kinds of companies that sell them. But she just has worked really well with me, so that's why I'm giving her a plug. So the owl pellet kit, and we just pray that, you'll find all of these things very helpful in exploring God's creation and nature.
We have one more, if you'd give us the last number.
Yes. Yeah, what she's saying is if you have ideas that piggyback on all of these, please email us. We put our email addresses bigger on your handout, please email us and give us your ideas. If they can extend our lessons or you know, the brainstorming helps you think of other things that we can do, because, you know, we're all here to learn from each other. And that's what I love about teachers. Now, I've been told that teachers are thieves, but we're going to clean that up a little. We just borrow from each other. We just borrow. So please feel free to email us with any of your ideas. If you have anything, send it to us. So we have a few minutes left. Are there any? Oh, sorry. She's right here on the front. Woohoo! Yay! So are there any questions or comments or things you want to add for everyone? Charlie? Tell us. Oh, an owl pellet. Oh, I know. Everybody's like kind of getting scared, right? An owl pellet is not excrement, okay? An owl pellet is regurgitation.
Better.
However, it is sterilized. It goes through a sterilization. And so, because that's the first thing the kids say, are we touching owl poop? Can I say that in here? Anyway, and I say, no, you're not. Can we use gloves, Miss Rosenbaum? And I'm like, you can, but you don't have to. So that's what an owl pellet is, Charlie. Thank you. Great question. Anybody else?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.